Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton from Right Now Radio, a member of Expert Insights Publishing Family. And we're proud to announce that we've published 9 new number one bestsellers in just the last year and created 300 new best-selling authors. Our latest bestseller, Wounded, Survive, Thrive, is getting rave reviews around the globe, and that's why I wanted to bring this to you. Each of us can think of a woman in our life that, despite her trials and adversity, seemed to pick herself up, dust herself off, and pull herself together. This book is an invaluable resource and a collection of 101 women's stories from tears and torment to triumph. This will leave an indelible imprint on your heart forever. These resilient women have lived through nightmares and not only survived, but found ways to truly thrive. For the next few weeks, we will showcase raw interviews and powerful testimonies of their struggles, which only have made them stronger. Surviving some of the most difficult situations taught these brave women resilience, strength, and faith, and they want to share that with you now. Discover their triumph. Hi, Linda. This is Vicki. I'm so thrilled you are with us today from Sydney, Australia, to be contributing in such a big way to the book Wounded, Survive, Thrive. I thought we would start out by sharing a little bit about what you found maybe the most exaggerated time in your life of feeling wounded or really having a large challenge to overcome. Can you share a little bit about that and how that came about for you?
Sure. As a kid growing up, I was one of 7 children, and I just had a life of absolute bliss. It was just, you know, I could do anything, be anybody. I would run 2 miles to the tennis court and coach tennis from whatever in the morning. I would dance till 3 in the morning when I started going to work and then come back and coach tennis 3 hours later. I had so much energy. And then all of a sudden I noticed when I did my trip to America and started to do 2 degrees in 2 years, I was swimming a mile a day, playing tennis for the university. So I really knew what it was like, but I wasn't feeling well. I started to really lose a lot of my tenacity, my energy, and I didn't understand about adenosine triphosphate, which is our natural antioxidant that we're born with, that it just runs out, or that we actually overuse some of these things. I didn't understand about adrenaline, that most of the activity that I was doing was just all around adrenaline, and there were times where I just didn't want to get up. I started to feel really, really low. And then I came home, and when everybody came home through, like just flying home from America to Australia, not me, I had to dress up as a man and go to England. I found my dad's family. I came on a 6-month safari through Africa. So I really completely wore myself out, loved every minute of it, and came home absolutely spent. Came back to Australia and found it really awkward to get up and start moving. And, of course, I wanted to get into my career now because I had my degrees. And it wasn't long into my career that I started, you know, not being able to walk. And my husband, I got married, and my husband was finding it very challenging to, you know, some days I just couldn't get up. The workplace found it hard. I was working basically 2 people shifts in the one because that's what I was used to, and had no idea what was happening to my body. I kept getting medical tests that were saying you're 1 off or 2 off having a particular disease, but they never really verified anything. I went through the Tropical Diseases Centre at Sydney University because they thought I had a form of malaria, or they would get excited because of the massive lumps in my groin and in my neck that would show how sick I was. But nothing came up. I don't know if they didn't have the equipment or what it was, but I was literally dragging my feet. After 4 years of working at the university, I then, as I said, married my husband and we had our child, our beautiful boy Nathan. And with autoimmune diseases, which I then found out was what I had, after giving birth to a child, you actually give them the best of you, and there was literally nothing left. So I was diagnosed from the actual hospital that I worked for in preventative health, setting up a $1 million department in people with wellness. I was actually diagnosed as having lupus, a disease of the autoimmune system. And again, dragging my feet, I now had a baby. I was majorly involved with this hospital program to change the whole image of the hospital into a wellness center rather than a sick house. And I wasn't well. I was very sick. I knew that if my handbag was starting to fall off my shoulders, that I had 20 minutes to get home, and it would take me 4 days then to get over that. I was literally bedridden. I had nothing left. I remember being in the bottom of a shower recess and not being able to get out. I remember looking at my hands and having my hands full of the hair that used to be on my head. It was a pretty frightening stage that I was at. And, of course, because I'd been so well and a representative tennis player and cricket player and doing all the degrees and running departments, it was very awkward for me to explain this to people. And so I found it very challenging to even explain it to anybody. My husband would then help me by making appointments, and I would become a continual member of the lupus clinic at the Royal North Shore Hospital. And of course, I didn't want to be there. I really didn't want to be there. So I did that for 4 years. And I just found that completely frustrating because I didn't feel like I was going anywhere fast. There was no recuperation for me. I didn't feel any repair. And then one day I just made a very clear decision, and I decided, and I believe that this is a process that we need to go down now because I did it myself. I decided I didn't want to be sick anymore. I decided that I had a picture of wellness, and I would get a picture of wellness, which was me playing tennis, and I would put it all over the house, and I would ask myself every day, what is it that I need to do today to get back to that? And if it meant taking some minerals, I started to learn about health. I was in the fitness industry and teaching people aqua fitness and being involved very much so in the American aqua fitness circuit. They loved us going over there and teaching other trainers. I was involved as a trainer here in fitness at that stage, and through that discovered nutrition and health. And through that, discovered some of these alternative option programs of beautiful nutrition and health. And I started experimenting with minerals and things and started feeling well. And I went, wow. So the next thing was, after making that decision that I could get well again, was looking for people to assist me. We're not meant to do it on our own. I get that now. Everything I did, I just thought you have to do it on your own. It was like that work hard theory. So I started to decide and then believe that I could do this. And I bought a book called The Taste of Life by Julie Stafford. She had cured her husband of cancer. There was another guy that had written a book on anti-cancer, anti-heart attack cookbook. And I thought, well, he was really doing a lot with fruits and vegetables, which I loved anyway. And so I started juicing everything. I bought books on wellness, and I would follow what they did, and gradually, I would start to feel a little bit better. I'm not saying it happened overnight. It really actually took 14 years. And at that stage, as I said, I'm working. I was a soccer coach for my son's team. I was rearing this beautiful boy that was just a gift in my life. I was a fundraiser for the school. I hadn't quite learned how to calm down completely. And but I knew I needed to believe and act on it. So there were times where I would just literally lie on the lounge, have some time out for me, or I would go and play or coach that soccer and then come and just lie. I used to just lie down on the floor in my family room because the sun would be on my face, and I just loved that warmth around my body. All right, we built a spa bath, and I would just lie in the spa, and I put a skylight in the roof, and I could just stare at the sky and just zap out a bit more often than I used to. And so it became very clear to me about deciding, believing, acting, and then expecting. And I guess that was the crunch, that I had to expect wellness. That if you do all of this and you actually don't expect to be well because you've got no picture of it, there's people dying of lupus every day, there are people unwell. And, you know, I didn't really have much evidence of people doing it on their own and achieving great success at that time, except, you know, there was the occasional book being written and the occasional person that was making inroads. So I decided that the universe gave me lupus because it knew I would have the courage and the tenacity to get rid of it, and then I would be able to show other people how to do that. So then I decided that the two hands of medicine must come together, that going down the medicine track didn't totally work for me, and going down the alternative track needs more support. So I met with this doctor at the hospital, and we joined forces, and that was just such a gift because that was my goal, that the two hands of medicine would come together. And we started lecturing all around Australia on wellness. And he would have his doctor bit and I would have my alternative bit, and we complemented each other. And sadly, he's not with us today. He's left a legacy of the DVDs that we made together.
Ah.
It's emotional. But he was hit by a car. So his legacy was to allow me to feel so special that I could continue the work that I'm doing in sharing this concept with people, that you can just set a goal and achieve that goal. It doesn't matter what the controversy or the obstacles that are there in front of you. You just keep your mind set on the goal and you just do everything within your power. So now I was achieving the goal not just for me but also for him and all the other people that came and wanted to be a part of this option of bringing the two hands of medicine together to achieve the best success.
Oh my gosh, that is so touching and so powerful. So powerful, Linda.
It was an amazing time in my life, and from there I decided that I would put more and more effort into this department at the hospital. It became a wellness department within a major teaching hospital, and it became a million-dollar business for the hospital. I set up programs to teach people that they could take care of themselves. I set up learn-to-swim programs for adults that they didn't know how to swim. They were sending their children. I set up programs in foot reflexology, in just understanding you, learning about you. I set up programs in aquafitness, in fitness, I set up inter-hospital department programs where all hospital staff could come and compete and play sport against each other, because they had a research that showed that hospital staff were actually sicker than the general public because of the stress they were under with their workload. So the program that I set up, this million-dollar department, was massive. And we had 20 other hospitals now involved. And then I was asked to lecture around the world on how you could change these hospitals from sick houses into wellness centres. And they could be totally self-sufficient, and people could actually pay to come to a hospital for wellness rather than sickness. But the whole energy around our health systems all over the world needs to change dramatically. But I actually believed if I was given the money for one heart bypass, which is about $12,000 Australian in those days, that I could probably save about 12,000 people for having one, if they just understood how their heart functioned and how, through a bit of diet and exercise, they could stop that progression of bad health. So I had this absolute energy inside of me that was just amazing to bring wellness to the universe. So I'm so grateful for lupus, because I'm so grateful for learning how to get through it and come out the other side, and to show people that, number one, you can, both with mindset and with great nutritionals and by understanding the body. So the more I taught at TAFE, which is a college here, and the universities, the more I learned. You know, the teacher learns the most. I was teaching up to 16 subjects at one stage. I went into a retirement village and became the activities director there. I wanted to learn how people aged. I didn't want to learn it from books. I wanted to learn it from the people. And I had played a massive role in changing the mindset of older people. I had 103-year-olds that now drank more water and took minerals and came to exercise programs and loved their life. And we did competitions between retirement villages. I then was teaching at TAFE and universities at the same time, and so I was taking the learning from this retirement village at Next to No Wage. I was taking that learning and putting it into the curriculum and writing the curriculum from the mouth. It's like from the horse's mouth. I love learning from the people rather than from books who are sometimes written by the theorists. I love this book because of the, these people have practically gone through this stuff and come out the other end, which is so powerful, rather than somebody who's learned a whole bunch of stuff through other books and then written a book themselves. And I'm not sure how much practical experience they've had of what they're writing about.
Mm-hmm.
So then, my life just went on from working in this beautiful hospital, setting up this massive department to and lecturing at TAFE and university, to then setting up my own business, and then moving across from the fitness industry. While I was in that fitness industry, I was exposed to the power of the mind and nutrition, and I loved it. I just loved it, and I thought, this has got to be that stage that I move on to. And then Bob Proctor, I had a good talk to Bob Proctor as he was part of this nutritional program that I was involved in, and I said to him, I've taken your programs, I've put them into prisons. My prisoners have all received an A at the beginning of the course, just like you said. They all kept their A at the end of the course. I said, go figure. And I said, some of them have left the prison now and have got an amazing life. I've taken your program and put it into the TAFE programs, and I've thrown out some of the curriculum and rewritten the curriculum with your insights, your mindset motivation. And the students are doing so well. In fact, the guy that employs me is not sure how to handle me. Because my information is so inspiring and so different that he's getting comments from other teachers as to, you know, how they, the answers to their questions are very different to the answers to the subjects they're doing with me. And so that was an interesting part of my life. But I learnt so much about the mind, and I'll always be grateful for Bob Proctor and John Canary for starting me out on this mind thing. I remember setting a goal that I now needed to have a really good goal at the beginning of each year, and I wanted a charity that I could get my teeth stuck into, and I wanted to become a global business. And by May that year, I flew into China on the 12th of May, and that was the day of the earthquake. And, you know, gosh, how can I explain this? I had no idea that I was there for a reason, but something was telling me that I was. And how can anyone get that idea? I'm not even Chinese. I don't speak Chinese. But I'm there, and I've just got this inkling that I'm there for that earthquake to assist these people. So I start doing that. I get people together. I'm training NLP. I tell them that they're amazing people. They could help me do this. We could go to the earthquake zone. We could help these people get through this grief. My book that I'd already written, because my mum had died and my beautiful puppy dog had died, and six of my people I was working with, including that gorgeous doctor, had all passed away. And how do you get through that? And so by writing the book, it helped me look at the life those people gave me rather than the gap that they left behind. And now here I was in China, and I could use this book to help 10 million people that had been displaced by an earthquake to get through this catastrophic grief. So I don't know what comes over you, but it happened. Some friends decided to help me change the book into Chinese. This beautiful girl called Hong And then her partner said, I can do the graphics. And all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, we had this book in China and diverted into Chinese, and it was being printed. We had no idea how we were going to pay for it. And I said, from now on, we just have to have faith that it will be paid for. It's going to cost me about 10 grand in essays to come backward and forward, so I'm not paying for the book. I've decided that people out there would love to pay for this book to go up into the earthquake zone. And that's exactly what happened. We created workshops where all the money went into this book, and we, and then this lady that told me I couldn't do it because I don't speak a word of Chinese, she gave us a donation because she couldn't believe it would happen. And that was the last payment we required to make. And I just said to the lady, ring the printer, we've got his money. It was like this expectation is so powerful. If you don't expect things to happen, then they're not going to. And so we went to the airport. We had so many books, we couldn't even lift the bags. And we convinced the guy on the other side of the counter that he had to put them on the plane. And then we convinced people in the earthquake zone that we needed to get a driver and a car and go up into the earthquake zone and through the Chinese army, like go figure, and then we could go in and help these people. And the Chinese lady that was with me was saying, we're not going to be able to do this. I'm saying, honey, if you don't have faith, we can't do anything. I have faith that this is going to work. All I need is for you to back me up on this. And so there we are at the border with this guy flipping through this Good Grief book that's going to help all these people. And I could see him thinking, and I'm going, we're going to do this. This is going to actually happen. And he walked around the car. He hopped into the car. He said, I am going to get into so much trouble with this. And he said, but I'm going to take you into the earthquake zone. Wow, this is huge. So now we're in the earthquake zone, and we're in front of 100 kids that were left out of 2,000. And this is just so emotional because the army is up there, the police are up there, and we're up there with this book. And so we all decided that this should be the first day of the rest of their life, and this should be a party. And we don't know why they were spared, but they were spared for an amazing reason, and they need to know that. And so we created these big cakes, and they celebrated this party for the first day of the rest of their life in China. And my book was the present. And that was just the beginning of it. And the power of thought is just, that was another great example. So the first power of thought is that I can get well, I'm well. The second power is that I can complete my degree, 2 degrees in 2 years, I did it. That I can dress as a man and go to London and find my dead family, and I did it. That I can go to China and I can meet and help people be displaced by an earthquake, I figure, and I can do that. And I think this whole thing that I went through about having lupus, I believe that my thoughts got me to this lupus. I have to be honest with it. Maybe I was feeling like I didn't get enough attention as one of 7 children. Whatever it was, I created this disease. We have to understand that we are at cause for everything in our world. And then we need to understand that we're at cause for our wellness. We're at cause, and so by understanding the body and understanding how we operate, I was able to get through it and then teach others. It's so powerful.
It is indeed powerful. So how is this manifesting in your life now? What are you doing now? What does your life look like now?
Wow, it just gets bigger and bigger. Like now I'm on TV every Sunday morning on livingconsciously.tv. You can go on to the internet and your readers can go on there, and there's some amazing, I'm a cast member now. I was a guest and they liked it so much that I became a cast member. You'll meet some amazing people that talk about wellness, and their stories are just phenomenal every single Sunday. So that's Saturday in America. So that's a brilliant show. I've got a lady here in Australia that wants me to go on TV here in Australia next year and do the same thing sort of here. I'm training people in the power of their mind every single day. I'm either doing it by Skype or now right here on my floor of my office. I have everything prepared to leave for Jamaica. The government in Jamaica has asked me to come over and train some of their staff and become a change agent. How powerful is that? Like, this is huge that we can affect, like, if you can affect a nation like China and then affect a nation like Jamaica, And so now I'm talking to government officials here in Australia and saying, why aren't you employing me here at a government level to be the change agent here? Because the other thing I'm doing is I'm going into the country of Australia, like the remote farming areas, and I'm working with women off the farms and training them to be more. So that, you know, there's a lot of people that they wake up from their birth and they follow mum and or dad, and it's expected that they will just follow in their footsteps. And you find that a lot in the farming communities, that the son is sort of thinking that, well, I just have to follow in dad's footsteps, and it's sort of like this mandatory thing. But there's so many farmers out there, both men and women, that really don't want to do farming. They sort of didn't question it. Like Bob Proctor says, we just follow somebody in lock, step and barrel, we fall in line, and we keep going. And he went into the Navy for 9 years. Well, these people go into farming or whatever it is that mum and or dad do, and then they realise that they're not cut out for it. So they don't feel worthy. They don't feel complete. And so I had one lady in the farming areas that got so much benefit from what I was doing that she asked me to come down. She just lined people up every 2 hours, and I started to coach them. And from that success came a couple who wanted to get a divorce over the farming. And they left me after 2.5 days later. They left me wanting to renew their vows. And they're the happiest couple on the planet. So their success has now accelerated to another couple who flew to Sydney and stayed with me for 2.5 days. And they're on seventh heaven. So their success, do you see what's happening?
Oh, my goodness.
Just
yes.
Beautiful. So, no, my life is an absolute bliss. I am extremely busy lady. I'm training people from Jamaica to Ireland. I have ladies in Ireland and England that I train by Skype. I've got people all over the world that I'm training by Skype and or I'm coaching. I'm a part of a Success Women's Network here in Australia. And, of course, next year it looks like TV, radio, 5-star retreats, all sorts of new things on the planet, as well as finishing all these things that I'm starting in other countries, because I want to train up more people, because there's only me. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
there needs to be more of the people that can do what I do so that we can make more of an effect. And
yeah,
so that's my goal, is to train people in Jamaica to take over. And so that's what I want to do. I'm allowing them to come and learn this amazing material, change their world, and then help them. They can continue the work I do there, and then I can gradually fade out of places like Jamaica and then go to the next place. So I'm also doing that in the country. I'm training women now in both the business side and also the personal side, because, and one of the ladies I'm training now is the head of a government department with disability services. Like, this is going to be amazing.
So that is incredible.
So the effect that she'll have on that organisation will just be phenomenal. And she's just one of many people that are now stepping up and saying, I'd like to be part of this process.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So if someone were at the point where they are not quite ready to have that belief in the fact that it really will happen, can you give us something very quickly that that we could do to move into action the direction of what you teach?
Yeah, it would be really good for people to do what I did when I first started out. They stand in front of a mirror and say to yourself, would I buy from me today? Because you are selling yourself every single minute of every single day. You are selling your ideas to your children. You are selling your concepts and ideas to your partner. You are selling your ideas to everyone you meet and talk to, your thoughts and your ideas. But what are you selling? Are you selling negativity? Are you selling limitations? What are you selling? Or are you selling prosperity? Are you selling possibilities? And so when you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, what would I change in me to allow me to be a better change agent? I love that word. Do you know, I had to speak at a conference in Las Vegas, and the lady was singing a song. This girl had created this song called Be the Change. And so I was the next speaker, and I thought, yeah, you go be the change. And I ran up on the stage after she came off and said, yeah. Like, all of us, aren't we helping people to change? We don't change anybody, but aren't we assisting change? And if we're not, why not? So something that we can do is, what can we do for us? Like, can we say to ourselves, you are more than that, aren't you? When you say, I'm not good enough or I don't deserve, just say to yourself, you're more than that, aren't you? So what else are you? Are you a great mom? Are you a great friend? Are you a great companion? And what else more are you than that? Are you great at work? Are you a good gardener? What else are you? Think of all the things that you're great at, because you are. There's always more that you're great at than what you think you presently are right now. So go be that greatness.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Linda Dyer, I've got to tell you, this has been like the most incredible time spent with you. The wisdom that flows from you is just enormous. And I'm so thrilled that you're part of the book. Do you have a website that we could possibly give to everyone that would allow people to connect with you?
Absolutely. I've got two websites. I'll give you my main website, which is www.mindpowerglobal.com.au.
Okay, so that's www.mindpowerglobal.com.au, right?
Yes, and the other one is www.lynda, Lynda, Dyer, .com.
Oh, fantastic.
And on that one, they will find amazing blogs and lots of freebies all about energy and motivation and things that can assist them.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Linda, thank you so much for joining us. It has been such a pleasure once again to spend time with you. And thanks for the generosity of sharing all your wisdom with everyone.
It's my absolute pleasure, and thank you for including me. I am absolutely honored. And when it came in, I went, wow, you know, here I am, sitting and thinking about my second book, and it just turned out.
It has a way of doing that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And thank you for your inspiration. It's wonderful. I can't wait to get it out to through the networks that I have here once it's completed. I'm looking forward to helping you do that.
Thank you so much, Linda.
To learn more about Wounded, Survive, Thrive, our other bestsellers, and the opportunity for you as a writer to get published now, visit GetEIP.com. That's GetEIP.com. This is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, wishing you a happy and award-winning week. See you next time.